Thanks, Rodrigo. Good morning again, everyone. If we haven't met before, I am Lachlan. I'm on the staff team at Dural Anglican. It's great to have you joining us this morning. Summer in Australia. It's a season of celebration. It's from New Year's Day to Australia Day. It's a great time of year. Lots of opportunities and ways to celebrate, from beach, barbecue, beverages, cricket, the pool, you name it. There are so many ways to celebrate. There's also plenty of music, from festivals to the hottest 100 January in Australia and in Sydney in particular. It's great. This morning, though, we're particularly thinking about songs that you could sing when you face difficult seasons, songs that might help get you through. In 1969, the Beatles sang, "Here Comes the Sun, do-do-do-do. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right." They remind us that when times seem dark and troubled, remember, change is just over the horizon. It's all going to be okay. Or in 2002, Christina Aguilera sang, "In the face of trouble and hurt, it makes me that much stronger. It makes me work a little bit harder. It makes me that much wiser." Her take is seasons of trial and difficulty are something that build you up in the long run. And of course, in 2014, Taylor Swift reminded us that in the midst of criticism, sometimes you just need to say, "I'm just going to shake, 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 shake it off. Woo, hoo, hoo." And I'm sure you can think of other songs that actually offer a way forward when you're facing difficult and painful seasons of all kinds. And each of those responses that we kind of considered momentarily, they can actually be good advice in different situations. But ultimately, each of those suggestions depends on us and our strength. You know, what if the sun and its new dawning is too far for me to hang on to? What if instead of making me stronger, this hurt only makes me weaker or breaks me completely? What if I can't shake it off? I think that's when you end up with songs like "Mad World" by Tears for Fears. "I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had." What song can you sing that actually helps you persevere when you come face to face with the reality of overwhelming and terrible forces at work in the world? Whether you're a Christian or not, the Bible raises big questions for us to grapple with, and today's Psalm 93 that we heard read out earlier, it asks us to consider, what can you hope in the face of overwhelming trouble and despair? Over the next 4 weeks, we're looking at four psalms, four songs in the Bible that actually invite us to celebrate the fact that God is in control, that the Lord reigns. We had the slide up earlier. Psalms are a part of the Bible. It's basically a collection of songs and poems. They've been a source of encouragement and comfort to millions of people across cultures and across generations for thousands of years. I think it's fair to claim they are some of the greatest songs in history. And this morning, as we look at Psalm 93, we are celebrating God's rule in the face of darkness and trouble and despair. Just to set some expectations, though, the reality of suffering and evil, it's a complex issue. And this morning, we're just focusing on Psalm 93. It will touch on issues of suffering and evil, but Psalm 93 is just part of a larger discussion. It's part of a larger discussion on suffering and evil in the Bible. Today we're just looking at Psalm 93, and we're going to look at it in four parts. We're going to look at the Lord reigns, a strong and secure rule, real trouble, and God's firm and beautiful ways. They're the 4 points we'll look at. I'll remind you of what they are as we go through. So if you're taking notes on the inside of your bulletin, there's a space there for you to do so. But first up, have a look with me there at verse 1. If you've got the Bible open with you, that'll be helpful. Point one, the Lord reigns. Don't worry, we're going to look at bigger chunks in the next sections. But the Lord reigns, it's a key phrase, not just in today's passage, but actually in this section of Psalms as a whole. When the Bible says the Lord reigns, we might just think, oh, you know, that's just kind of Bible language. It's just praising God. But whenever you see that word Lord in the Old Testament written in capital letters there, it actually means that in the original language, that was the personal name of God. We might translate it, Yahweh reigns. Yahweh, the covenant-making God of the Old Testament, the God who made himself known through his words and actions, the God who would one day make himself known in the person of Jesus. Everything that follows in this psalm, all the claims about God and who he is, they're grounded in knowing the God of the Old Testament. It's not just random abstract thoughts that we might have about a God who's distant or perhaps made the world and left it to his own devices. It's not a reflection on some cosmic force. It's not a reflection on, oh, well, what I would like to think about God, what I would find him encouraging to be. No, this psalm is drawing on God as he's revealed himself in his word. It makes a bunch of claims about God that we're going to investigate and think about a little more carefully, but the proof of those is in God's dealings with his people recorded in Scripture. This is Yahweh, and he has a strong and secure rule. We're up to point two. We see here that Yahweh's rule is sovereign and strong and secure. Have a listen with me and a look at verses 1 and 2. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established, firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. Yahweh's rule is strong and secure. There's something about clothing that can identify the skills and abilities of the person who's wearing them. You know, the tradesman with his tool belt, armed with his drill, he's trained and equipped to construct or repair things. The fireman in his kit, armed with a hose, is trained and equipped to put out fires. The judge in his robes and armed with a gavel is trained and equipped to listen to the evidence and weigh up decisions. And to have an effective government, you need someone who is properly equipped to rule. Someone with majesty and strength. Someone with the position and the power to rule. Someone who is lifted up high above all things. That's what majesty is getting at. And who has the strength to execute on that rule and to maintain order. And when it comes to creation, that person is God. God's people know about his majesty and strength from his dealings with them. But on top of that, God's throne isn't new. It's not a newly established throne. It was established long ago. It's proven itself. It's weathered various storms. What's more, God is eternal. God does not die, so we don't need to worry about what will happen when his government ends. We don't have to worry about what the next ruler will be like. We see in these opening verses a reminder of what God's people know about him and his rule from the Old Testament. His rule is sovereign, he is strong, he is secure. Which we need to remember because in the face of God's rule, our world experiences the assault of evil and chaotic forces. Have a look with me at verse 3. We're up to our third point, real trouble and despair. Verse 3, the seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Now, if I'm reading this psalm with my Aussie summer lenses on, I might picture images of the seas and the waves as, you know, playing by the beach and enjoying the surf, images that represent the goodness of creation and the chance to rest. But the seas and the waves occupy a very different space in our day-to-day Australian summer mindset compared to what they often do in the Bible. Because in the Bible, the seas and the waves often represent evil and the forces of chaos that threaten to overwhelm and destroy. I mean, even in Australia, the sea isn't always a place of joy and rest. At the more comical end of the spectrum, my extended family occasionally likes to enjoy a boat trip. And while I love the idea of going on the boat trip, usually once I've been at sea for about 20 minutes, I'll start to be feeling a little bit off. And then 10 minutes later, the nausea really hits. The waves rock the boat and you can't outthink it. And then your family just goes and takes a picture of you holding a bucket as you feel seasick. The sea can make you feel nauseous. More seriously, though, as storm surges and floods that can happen as rains pound, they can cause great damage and destruction. And when we read in this psalm of the seas lifting up their voices and the pounding waves, don't think restful seaside holiday, pleasant dip in the ocean. Think violent waters. Think inescapable nausea, the sort of distress that leaves you feeling sick to your stomach. Because ever since Genesis 3, when humanity rebelled against God and his ways, listened to the serpent's lies, God's created order has been disrupted. So when fires devastate the home, our homes and landscape, when oppressive rulers and regimes are in ascendancy, or violent men assault innocents, when we face the realities of sickness and death, we see just how broken our world is. And sometimes it is so stark that we feel it in the pits of our stomach and we can't escape it. Psalm 93 here, as it draws in these images of waves raising up their voices and pounding, it's encouraging us to see and draw in and consider everything that is wrong in the world. And it's worth considering that, because if God's reign is only limited, if there are more powerful forces out there, well, then we need to live in line with that reality. We could give up in despair, because how do we know that the forces of evil will not win? We could just join in with Tears for Fears and Mad World and sing "The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had." But Psalm 93 heads in a very different direction. Because when the chaos and disorder are considered next to God's sovereign rule, the psalmist comes back with a strong affirmation there in verse 4. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Because as virulent and as disruptive and as terrible as the forces that assail God's world and his people can be, God is mightier still. When things appear and feel viscerally out of control and destructive, God is still in control. The assault of the sea ultimately comes to nothing. And so when fires devastate, when rulers are oppressive, when people are violent, when the realities of sickness and death hit, God is still mightier. God is in control. And because God is in control, even in the midst of the chaos and the terrible seasons, we can trust him and follow his ways. Have a look with me at verse 5. God's solid and beautiful ways. We're looking at point 4. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Your holiness adorns your house for endless days. Because God is mightier than the forces of evil and chaos, God's ways, expressed through what he has said, also stand firm. Building your life on God and his ways is building your house on the rock. But God's not just strong. He's not just firm. The place where he dwells is decorated with holiness. If you ever come to our house, or if I visit your house, as you look around at the things that adorn the walls, it actually says something about the people who live there. From artworks to trophies, the bookshelves, the TV, the things that you adorn your house with, they show something of the people who dwell there. And for God, that is his holiness, his love of justice and goodness, which is seen in his statutes, his law, his word. Some people rule and have strength without character, tyrannizing the people who they look after, but God are meant to look after. But the psalmist insists that is not so of God and his ways. God's justice and his righteousness are the things that make where he is, that make where his rule comes from, beautiful. But not only that, God's holiness adorns his house for endless days. The momentary terror caused by the rising of the waters, it's a snap of the fingers in the light of the eternity of God. As we consider Psalm 93, it reminds us God's rule, it's sovereign, it's strong, it's secure, it's mightier than the terrible forces that we face, and his ways are solid and beautiful. It's a psalm that we can sing when we are genuinely facing terrible, powerful, nauseating forces to remind us that God is mightier still. So what do we do with Psalm 93 today? Well, Psalm 93, it reminds us, we've seen, of the terrible dangers and troubles that we can face in the world, and it asks us to consider, how do you respond to them? And it offers hope in the face of evil, in the God who has made himself known. It invites us to consider God's strength and his goodness that he has shown in his workings in the world, so that when we face what appears to be overwhelming and terrifying, we can remember that he is trustworthy. We can continue to love him and his ways. Throughout history, one of the things that has defined God's people is that while they face natural disasters, whether it be locusts or droughts or earthquakes or something else, or violent foreign invaders and exile and capture, God's people continue to understand these events in light of what they know about God and his ways. They might not understand how these are playing out, how they fit into God's plans in that moment, but they know they can trust him. Yahweh's rule is strong and secure. It's mightier than the terrible forces that we face, and his ways are solid and beautiful. We might wonder, how can God be good and powerful and allow bad things to happen? Which is a good question to wrestle with. And later in the year, when we look at the book of Job, I'm sure it's a question that will come up again. If you wanted to sit down over a coffee sometime and think about the question a bit more carefully, I or Dougal would be happy to do that. But Psalm 93 isn't actually wrestling with that question. Instead, it's inviting God's people to remember what they know about God, so that when they do face terrible situations, they can continue to trust him and have confidence that he is in control. For us in particular, we can look to Jesus and see how he continued to trust God in the face of the terrible forces arrayed against him, even to the point of his death. That despite the rising hostility of those who opposed him, that eventually ended in his death on the cross, he continued to trust God was in control. He continued following God and his ways, and in doing so, he dealt with our sin so that we could be forgiven and that we could know God as Father and not just judge. In Ephesians, Paul wrote about the power of God at work in those of us who follow Jesus, and he said, that power that was at work in Jesus is the same as the mighty strength that is at work in us, is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. Jesus' trust in God was not misplaced. God's mighty strength is stronger than death. God raised Jesus from the dead, not just to life, but also to rule over all things. And so as we consider Psalm 93 in light of the cross, it reminds us of God's rule that has come through Jesus, his sovereign, strong, secure rule that is mightier than the forces that we face, as terrible and depressing as they might be. And his ways are solid and beautiful. We can trust that God's rule is good. We can know that the idea of a cosmic battle between light and dark is not the reality, or that sometimes good wins and sometimes evil wins. It's just not the case. There is evil, but we never need to fear it because God's king rules. His rule is strong and secure. And so we can face trouble and despair in light of God's word. The psalmist isn't shutting himself off from the problems of reality. He's facing them with what he knows about God. When we face problems, God wants us to think carefully about them in the light of who he is and what he has done for us, and to see he is indeed trustworthy, and remember he's in control. We don't need to hide from the difficult things that we face. We can bring them to God, and we can face whatever may come in 2026 because the Lord Jesus reigns. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you that you have placed your king on your throne, that he's clothed with strength to rule and to overcome any foe. Thank you that your ways are not only trustworthy but good. Thank you that in a world that can seem so full of uncertainty and can appear out of control, we can have confidence in your King, in his sovereign and secure and good rule. Amen.